Thank you so much. What a blessing the Gelenics have been to our church and our ministry here at Grace Baptist Church. I have your Bibles. I want you to look at this parable with me a little bit in the time remaining and give you a little bit more understanding of my thoughts concerning this parable. I want to call it, if I have the liberty to change it to the liberty, if I do have that liberty, to change it to the parable of trust. And help you understand a little bit more of what I'm thinking, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you, is that as I was reading this and studying it, I saw that we are all to serve, and we all will serve someone or something, that we're already involved with that service. Many of you are serving the Lord, and you've been doing that faithfully. The greatest among you will be your servant. That's our whole theme this year, is based around that word serve. And maybe you have had an opportunity to serve the Lord for a long time. I appreciate people that are in full-time ministry, but some that are working jobs are also servants of God. And sometimes they give more in their time than some of the pastors do. And so I want to encourage you, when I was with the pastors on Friday or Thursday last week, some of those pastors have to work. They took off work to be able to come to the meeting. And I like to be able to give to them. We used to have Pastor of the Month here where we'd send them something, a gift. And most of the time it was to pastors that aren't taken care of. So we actually would like to help them and send them $100. They can take their wife out to eat and enjoy some time alone and some time away. It's necessary that we be an encouragement to them because God has certainly blessed this church and we want to continue to be able to be a blessing to others. And so if you can help me with that, it would be a blessing to be able to keep that going for the pastors in our state. But in this particular parable, as we read it, there is really a sense of carelessness or a sense of bondage. And we're talking about service. And we're talking about the unprofitable servant here because it can focus on that toward the end. There's more verses focused on that particular individual than there is on the others. And the unprofitable servant, I think really there is a sense of carelessness there. Or a sense of bondage, I don't want to enter into that bondage, or whatever. And I think there is really a need for us to be in balance concerning that. Is I don't think we need to be careless, I think we need to be carefree. And we can enjoy life, and we can enjoy what we do. And serving others is always a blessing when you have to stretch out your hand and help them. Whether it's helping them financially, or else putting your labor into it. And helping them, whatever it might be, there is a blessing in all of that. And so to some, there may be a holy anxiety. In other words, they never carry the burden of living a holy life or never having the desire to serve other people because they are self-serving. And we seem to be growing in that kind of people in our culture today and in our society where people are more self-serving than they are in the area of serving others. I think Jude deals with that. If you wanted to look up the book of Jude and read it and then find the word self in it and circle it, and you can see that they're self-absorbed, self-edifying, self-reliant, which leads to an incredible amount of woes for a society. And so when we're talking about this, I think we need to be balanced in the area of having that holy anxiety or that divine desire to help other people. To some, maybe they have a fear of not possessing this holy anxiety. But both the person who does have it, the person that don't, can be unprofitable if you're not careful. And so there needs to be a balance in all of that. So in this parable, though, we arrive to the conclusion that God deals with his people and his government such as like this man. And so we have this as an example or maybe as an illustration. And Jesus was really good with this. He was able to take the average story, like with a maybe perhaps a earthly story with a heavenly meaning. That's what a parable is. He's able to do it with the virgins in the previous parable, which helps us understand a little bit more and of concern there. And then what's really is dealing with waiting on God. Here we're dealing with diligence and being diligent in this particular parable. And so they're different with the same outcome, that we ought to trust the Lord and keep our eyes upon Him, especially in the area of service. And so I think really in this parable we arrive to the conclusion that God deals with His people and His government like this man does. I think we also learn that He has given us talents, but He's given us those to improve. And so He is desiring for us to increase in the area of things that God has given to us, to be able to use those then to increase. I don't think that God wanted to give us a talent and then to be able to have the same when He comes. In other words, I believe He's given you the opportunity and the obligation as His servant to take what He's given you and excel with it, to be able to do more for His kingdom. He's given you, and He's given you, and He's given you. And what have you done with that? I don't think none of us in this room would want to be the unprofitable servant. I think all of us would like to be the person that would increase. And so I think really we have to understand this particular parable was given to us so that we can help understand that when God gives us a talent, whatever that may be, that we are to be improving that. We are able to take it and make it better. My wife and I have lived many places. And one of the goals that I had when I moved into a place was to make it better than when I came. I wasn't in the business of trashing a place that I was renting. I wanted to make it look better. I wanted to make it easier to work with, whether it's building countertops or whatever. There was a little small place out here that had a kitchen in it. It was like a box, and I was renting it from the Score family. And back in the day when I first came to here in this area, and so I built a large countertop in the kitchen to be able to make it better. My wife then could put the groceries there while she's putting them away. And before, it was just a small little countertop, be able to have cupboards underneath that. I didn't have a lot of money. I didn't have a lot of talent. But I wanted to make what I was given and what I was overseeing a little bit better when I left than when I came. Because I think that God desires for us to do that. And I believe He will bless us and He will increase us as we continue to keep that. And by the way, there's a lot of things that are involved with this to keep you from really polishing and doing something better than what you had to be able to increase. There's a lot of things that will distract you from that. And the biggest distraction is going to be within you. You're the biggest problem. And so don't look around and blame other people for not increasing. And we'll see a little bit as we go. So we also learn that He has given us talents to improve. He also, the talents are representing the offices, the abilities, or the opportunities to serve. And so we're talking about service here. It's our theme. So I must say that all of these have the same goal concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ and His kingdom. And the main objective is to get the gospel to the lost, taking the word of God to the lost. And that is why He's given you any abilities, any talents, any offices, any opportunities. All that's been given to you and has been given to me for us to be able to take the gospel to the lost. I was talking to the men this morning about the apostles and how that, can you name one miracle that the apostles did during that time that they were on here on earth with the Lord Jesus Christ before the death, burial, and resurrection? And we talked about maybe the walking on the water from Peter, but really that was the Lord's work, because there was no internal working of the Spirit of God until the second chapter of Acts. And then we see their ability to be able to raise some of the men that are lame so they can walk again. There is other miracles that they were able to accomplish with the filling of the Spirit of God in this dispensation. God has given you and I a gift, and that is the Spirit of God. And then we have these gifts that we talk about, and he's given that to you and to me, and for us to be able to increase that. That's the whole desire of this particular parable. And for the kingdom of heaven is like unto this. The last parable, of course, implies expectancy, and this one implies diligence. But we also see that trust has been committed. And three things are involved here with this particular parable. So I want to give you three things in the remaining moments that will help you understand this particular parable. So what's involved with this parable is relationship. That's first and foremost when we're dealing with trust, is it not? It is important for us to be able to trust people. If you want a relationship with God, then we must trust him. We must yield to him. We must take the time of saying, Lord, I trust you. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And he will direct thy path. I think it's a simple verse, but it helps us understand that trust is involved, I think, with relationship, first and foremost. Now, relationship is important. Look at verse number one of the parable. It says, first of all, for the kingdom of heaven, and that's, by the way, that's added, because that's what he's talking about. He's talking about in verse number 25. We see it here was in the original Greek language that the kingdom of heaven was mentioned. It's like unto. But also it's in verse 14. In the I think they were rightly so adding this. And I'm so thankful for the authorized version translators, because they were honest enough when they wrote their words into this. They wrote it in italics, so they weren't trying to trick anybody. I wouldn't give you a dime for some of the new translations that they're coming out with. I wouldn't give you a dime for it. You may have a whole different look on that, but I want to see what God said. I want to see his words, and I want to let them settle within my own heart so I can truly meditate upon what he actually said. In verse, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country. So this man owns some things and he's going to travel. Who called his own servants. If you want a score in your Bible, underline. If you have your Bible, that's the best thing. You know, you can have those electronic things, and maybe that's okay to do that. But I think it's good for you to, maybe you can actually have a little electronic thing that'll underline it too if you want to. But I think you need to note this. Who called his own servants. And so we're dealing with somebody who owns some things, and he owns servants, or if you would, bond slaves, and he was able to call his own to himself. He's going to go away, and he's going to leave it in the hands of somebody that he knows. He owns them. He saw them every day, trusted them, and delivered them. Delivered unto them his goods. And so it's his goods and his servants. And so there was this relationship in the area of trust. And I really believe that what we're talking about here is Jesus describing his departure after the resurrection and him coming back the second coming. I believe that's what he's talking about. So if you're wondering what is actually happening here, I think this is what he's talking about. And he's talking about relationship. And I really believe this is absolutely essential. He called his own servants. I think if I'm related to the person who owns the stuff, it's going to mean something different. I want to have enough integrity to take care of people that aren't related to me, their things also. But if I'm related to them and I have a relationship with them, I'm certainly going to do a better job with it. So first and foremost is, how is your relationship with God? That's what we must think about. Do I have a relationship with God? You say, well, how do you have a relationship with God? There's only one way, through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the road we go on. And by the way, God is still in the business of saving people. He's still in the business of doing that. And so when we're thinking about this parable, we're understanding that it's about relationship, because relationship to the person then gives us the desire to do a better job. If my father-in-law goes away and he says, would you please put wood in my stove? He's got a big external stove. And if would you please take care of that for me? Would you please do as best as you can? I'm going to do the best I can because it's my father-in-law's stuff. I'm related to the person. He's going to talk to his own son-in-law. And his own son-in-law is going to make sure that the wood is put in the stove and kept warm so that when he comes home from his little getaway for the weekend, his house is warm. Can he trust me to do that? This particular story gives us an understanding of so much, but I need to move on. But I want you to understand, first of all, that there needs to be a relationship between them. And I want to ask you, how is your relationship with God? How are you doing in that area? Do you know who God is? What is committed to our trust is no trifle, but the good and the goods of our Lord. That particular owner trusted his servants, and can God trust us? Because I think many times we say we got to keep trusting the Lord, but am I trustworthy? Am I the kind of person that God can trust and give me things to take care of? Let me just settle in a little bit on the relationship too, because if I can't trust my dad, the relationship is not going to be the best. Because really, relationships are built on trust. And what happens if my relationship with my dad isn't what it should be, and I don't trust him, you know what happens to me? I become insecure around him. If you don't have trust with your wife, or if you can't trust your husband, the relationship is not that good at all. In fact, there's going to be insecurity in your relationship as a couple. And so if we're thinking about relationship, and we're thinking really about having that kind of trust with God. And by the way, as I trust him, I know he created the heavens and the earth. It's still, this is like a duh thing for me. You know, I mean, how can lilacs smell like they do? I mean, that was evolved from whale snot, you know. Yeah. That was evolved through droppings of oxen through the years or something. How foolish. It takes very little faith to know that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth for me. But it's just bizarre to me what comes out of that if you do not believe in God. It's just bizarre. But they're hopeful that there is no God. Because if there is no God, there's no judgment. But there is a God. And there is a judgment. And so when we're thinking about relationships, we ought to have that trust. Because if we have the trust and we have a good relationship, then we're not insecure. We have an insecure society because we have less trust in society. You're not sure your boss is going to fire you this week. He might fire you tomorrow. You don't even know. Do you trust him? Do you have a relationship? Are you insecure? These are questions that we ask ourselves, and I really believe that there is going to be an incredible amount of attention coming from the person who has been given the burden, has been given the talents to be able to do something great for God or do something great for our country. There is a seriousness about that individual, and he is secure because he trusts the providence of God that he placed upon his plate what he needed to be able to accomplish. And I want the three men to come up here real quick because of time. I got 20 minutes left. So why don't you guys come on up? I think it'd be important for us to kind of look at this because we have they have different talents that are actually given. Relationship is absolutely essential, and so I'll just play your dad, okay? I'll be your dad, Aaron, for a little bit. So bear with me. These are my sons. All right. Alex? Curtis? This is the plate, okay? And I give them a plate because it's pretty simple. I've got talents, and I'm going to give them talents. Now, you know that when I give you talents, there was, in the story, there's four talents given to one person. Five talents, I'm sorry. Then there was two talents given. And then there was one given. Now, if I give these guys the talents, or my inheritance or my abilities or offices or things to do, and I go away for a while, they have what I've given them, right? I think it's important for them. You can add this to the ones, by the way. The one in your pocket. There you go. All right. So I'm going to go away. Now, they've got the talents, right? I'm going to go away for a while, but I'm going to come back. Now, let's just say I'm gone for a year, okay? Then I come back after my journey, and I'm going to take a look at what's going on with the talents. Go ahead, Alex, take out what you did. He takes his five talents and puts it on there. How many is there now? Right. Pretty easy. Pretty simple. And then I go over to Curtis. I'm checking out your talents. And you've got four. And I gave you one. And you still have one. But it's muddy. And because you buried it and kept it. And this is really the story that Jesus gave of the talents. And I think really it was the parable of trust. That what was given unto them in some cases was increased. And by the way, I think we need to be careful in this, because his ability and the way he conducts himself and his diligence may be different than this one. And different than this one. And so sometimes we think, well, you know, it's not fair. If he would have given me five, then I would have increased it. You know, this is what's going on in our society today, is the fairness factor thing. You know, I'll be as fair as God. So don't try to mold me into being fair as society. I'll be as fair as God. That God deliberately gave some five talents and some only two and some only one. Because certain people can't handle it, okay? But whatever you can handle, God's going to give it to you. And to be able to increase that and be able to do something with it, God knows that you can do it. That's why he gave Alex that much. That's why he gave Curtis that much. That's why he gave Aaron that much. And I'm not picking on these guys. I'm not trying to exalt these guys. I wanted to pick them up and use them a little bit for the illustration. But sometimes we have to understand that God has placed on your plate exactly what you can handle. And when he goes away, he's gone, he's going to come back soon. And by the way, it's pretty soon. And if you haven't done anything with your talent, be like the one where the penny was given and get busy for God, because we're all going to be rewarded in that day. Amen. Not just a few. You can go ahead and be seated, guys. You can take those with you and make sure they find their way back on my desk, if you could. The plates you can throw away. Especially you, Curtis. Make sure. But the parable involves relationship, but the parable also involves responsibility, right? Because we're dealing with relationship, we're dealing with responsibility, and to some, perhaps you've got more. Are you responsible enough to handle two? Can you handle five? God may give you five. Man, I was thinking about this and how God's given me four sons. And I was thinking about Brother Paul. Wow. Can you imagine it? You know what? Would it be really good for you is to make money, man, and sit home and just get it all in. You got it. In the meantime, you get just coupons to Chick-fil-A, which is similar to that money coming in, right? But I was thinking about the responsibility. Just like Eden, they had relationship and they had responsibility, and we can't get away from those two. If you're going to be what God wants you to be, you'd have a really thriving, growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And you need to have an understanding of what he's given you and be responsible with it. I think about how that God distributes in portions according to the capability of some. And I think about competence. And how that maybe, just maybe, some aren't as competent as others. You say, well, you're picking on people. You know what? Sometimes the truth hurts. And I'm not in the business of making truth changed just so people can be at peace with themselves. Because I think I love people enough to tell them the truth. A man came in my office last week and sat down in my chair, and I looked at him and I said, you know what? After I listened to him for several minutes, I said, sir, if you don't work, you don't eat. I said, in my house, if you don't work, you don't eat. You say, well, that's being pretty mean. No, because I really believe that man got in his car and left after we helped him. But I also helped him with the truth. And maybe perhaps he thought to himself, I need to get busy because I think I can push carts with a vest on at Walmart, even if my back hurts. You know what it'll do for him? It'll give him an incredible amount of strength to continue on. I think it's interesting as we look at this because in closing, this parable involves responsibility, it involves relationship, but it also involves reward. But I love these rewards because they're given to us by the Lord of all things. And we know that someday we will be rewarded. If you look at verse number 16, it says, and then he that had received five talents went and traded him with the same and made them five talents. And likewise, he that had two also gained the two. But he that received the one went and digged in the earth and hid the Lord's money. But in verse number 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants comes and he reckons with them. So there is a day of reckoning. There is a day of reckoning. And so he that hath received the five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I gained beside them five talents more. Can you imagine how much joy that was? The Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast faithful in a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou in the joy of the Lord. Look at verse 22. And he also that had received the two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. And his Lord said unto him, well done, a good and faithful. I love the word faithful here. It's mentioned twice, say servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, but I will make thee a ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. It's amazing how the first two get the same reward. Verse 24, then, which had received only one talent, came and said, Lord, I knew thee. Oh, you really did? I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid my talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. Here it is. And his Lord said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not. Not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at the coming I should have received mine own with usury, with interest, if you would have just thought about that. So take therefore the talent, give it to the one who has 10. For every one that hath shall be given, and he that hath abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken, even that which he hath. Now listen to this. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. He actually calls this person an unprofitable and a slothful servant. But let me park in this as closing. There needs to be an understanding of two things that are mentioned with those that actually did what God desired for them to do with their talent. And by the way, you can't get any better than having the Lord himself tell you you've been faithful. This is no greater honor. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You ever do something And someone comes to me and says, man, you did a good job on that. That looks good, or that accomplished it. You know, it just makes you feel good. You know, I've got four sons. And I don't have daughters. And so men are egocentric. So, you know, man, you did a good job. That looks really good. And the boy says, wow, thanks, Dad. That's nothing compared to when God says, well done. Well done, thy good and faithful. He looked upon, remember his creation? He saw it was good. You know, that's God. What an honor. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. But there's also something else in the text where it says, enter you into what? Yeah. The joy of the Lord is the highest of all joys. So the highest honor and the highest joy, the greatest honor and the greatest joy, they don't get any better when you fulfill what God wants you to do. No matter how you feel, no matter how you think that the way you were brought up and the way things are going on in your life, and I can't do this and I can't. By the way, there is no excuses at all. I thought, God, you were some angry God. It's not going to work that way. God is God. And he knows what he's given to you is possible. And so no matter how hard it is because of what's going on within you to accomplish what God's called you to, he's given you the Spirit of God to accomplish it. The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives within your mortal body. And you can do what God's called you to do. And you know what would be a wonderful thing? We all get to heaven and say, we got it done. God was there. And he gave us the strength. Now let me tell you something. There's an internal problem, but there's also an external problem. Because you know what? There are people that do not like you. There are people that will oppose you no matter what you do. No matter how good you can be, no matter how hard you try, there's going to be the opposition. And you know what? God's not going to remove the opposition. Because he wants people that will continue on. No matter what's going on the inside, no matter what's going on the outside, God will give you the power that someday he'll come and he'll look at that plate and he'll say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I hope he doesn't come to you and say, wow, depart from me. I never knew you. I think it's interesting that sometimes slothfulness is a problem because we think that perhaps we need rest, and we do. But I'm telling you, I accomplish the best things when I'm really, really tired. When I was at Northland, I was taking care of the food pantry. My wife and I were taking care of the food pantry. She's here, so I better tell the truth. By the way, this was given to me 35 years ago in the Marine Corps. I wrote Howell on it, my Social Security number, platoon 2018. I look back at those days in the Marines and know that I had learned so many things to accomplish what God's called me to do and give me the perseverance I needed in the ministry. I don't know what you need, but I needed the Marines. I'm thankful for it. But when I was at Northland, there was a lot of things that we had to get done. We were going 2.5 hours away on Sundays to a ministry to minister to them every Sunday, sometimes taking 21 credits of school. Sometimes it got to the place where we just put one foot in front of the other. I would drywall at night, and on weekends, I would turn on some gospel music and just go at it, hang, tape, finish, coat, texture, paint, anything to get the job done. But you know what? When I was the busiest, that particular semester, when we were just dragging, is when I was on the dean's list. For the first time I've ever heard of a Howell being on the dean's list. With grades. Not because of favor, but because of my grades. And I can tell you who it was from. It was a gift from God. Spend and be spent for God. And use what he's given you. And please, if you whine, I will slap you. If you whine, you will hurt the people around you.
If you want to whine, then you get in your car, you go to a cornfield someplace where nobody can see you or hear you or watch your tears, and you can whine all you want to. Because it ain't going to do any good anyway, right? Let's do what God's called us to do. Let's be good stewards. Let's remember that this begins with trust. It ends with trust. To be faithful to the calling of God. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. I don't know where you're at spiritually, but maybe you're here this morning and you'd say, Pastor Howell, I don't have that relationship with God. I know that God's given me some abilities, but I have no relationship with Him. But I need to have that. And you were talking about having a dynamic, powerful, thriving relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And I would like to have that this morning. Maybe somebody would say, Pastor, would you please pray for me? Because I'm not sure I'm saved. But I'd like to know. Is there someone like that would say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I want to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. Is there anyone like that this morning? You came, you were already prepared to make that decision. And God was prompting you. Then Christian, this message was for you. You've already taken care of the part of the relationship, understanding your responsibility. The reward's to come. But maybe this morning you'd say, Pastor, would you please pray for me? Because I really believe God's given me some talents to serve. And I haven't been doing that. But I need to. Would you please pray for me? Is there anyone like that who would be honest enough? Pray for me, Pastor. Just lift up your hand and put it back down again real quick. Thank you for your honesty. Anyone else? Anyone else? With every head bowed and every eye closed, would you please stand? No one looking around. Let's have an invitation. If you need to come, renew your relationship with God. God will give you the grace. Why don't you come and do business at the altar if you need to this morning. Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit would guide and direct in the invitation. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Carolyn, you're all look back at the clock if you would. It's 11:58 and we are done with the service. I think that's the first time. By the way, you're looking back. Remember Lot's wife, so be careful. Could you turn in your Bibles real quick to 1 Corinthians 15? We got 2 minutes. 1 Corinthians 15. Look at verse number 10 because this goes along with the grace that God's given you. And the Apostle Paul was one of those diligent disciples of Christ, right? Let me read this verse to you. Verse number 10 says, this is 1 Corinthians 15 where it explains the gospel. But he says this, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. What a powerful verse. That God's given you the grace. And really, it's not you. It's the grace of God in you. That's given you the ability to stay to it and stay. You know what? I'm hoping that God gives me 21 more years in this pulpit. You say, well, Ray, you're going, Pastor. You're going to be burned out. And you're already like, we don't even know if you're here or there when we're talking to you. You know what? I really believe that God's grace is sufficient. And I want to do the best I can to see to it that this church stays what God wants it to be. According to our Constitution, stays the course. I believe God wants to bless us even more. I really believe that. There's no doubt in my mind. Brother Tom, could you make your way up here? I appreciate Tom. He is consistent. Brother Craig, on Friday nights, them two run the program, the Reformers Unanimous, and some of you are here because of that ministry. By the grace of God, you came back to the Lord, and you haven't stopped. In fact, I would probably say that this verse, number 10 of the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, is something that I could say that you have been done too. And he just keeps going and going and going. I appreciate all that you do for the Lord. I hope God gives us many more years together, Tom, to serve him and to continue to pull people out of what they're in and walk with God in a better way. I'm thankful to work with you in the ministry, Tom. Why don't you come and close our service with a word of prayer, if you would. God wants to continue to use you. I hope this message will help you. Looking forward to tonight, I want to talk about serving again, that God has given us certain graces to be able to serve. We'll talk about that tonight. Tom.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us and for the grace that you give us to know you and to serve you. And we just pray that you would help us to continue in your word and to just continue to seek you and to continue to love you and to love others as you would have us to love them. And we just pray that you would bless us now as we go our separate ways and to keep these things in our heart. In Jesus' name, amen.